Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And yes, you know. Yeah, I am. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're hanging around with me today because we got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead. Our good friend Jim Ostroff is back on the show with us. Jim is sitting in for Joan Pride this week. And Jim is, if he keeps this up, we're going to have Joan sitting in for Jim, I think.
I couldn't keep up with Joan, I assure you. Good morning, Jim.
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, associate editor with the Kipling Editors. Jim, it's good to have you back.
And thank you. Always happy to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. Jim, the lead story, the first page primarily of your letter this week is all about health care. The whole national health care debate, all the different issues. And Jim, I believe that, well, let me say this. For small business owners, this is a really tough thing. In fact, for the last several years, this issue, the challenge of providing health care for themselves and their employees, has been anywhere from the number one to the number two challenge of all small businesses over the last 6 years, depending on whether, you know, not right now the number one issue is finding and hiring good people, but the truth is, for small business owners, being able to provide health care benefits, good health care benefits, is part of the challenge of finding and hiring good people.
Oh, it is, and it's a key thing that many people look at, and if they have an option where they're looking for work, what do you offer, and what do you offer? Those companies with a, might say, less than sterling health care plan, perhaps will be at a disadvantage with others. So it's a competitive issue.
You know, Jim, another survey that we reported on recently was about what young people were looking for in a job as they entered the marketplace,
right,
and professionally. And I was kind of surprised to see the young generations, their number one issue, the number one thing that was on their minds when they started a job was benefits.
Well, yes, it is. And, certainly, it is a dichotomy. Nowadays, many younger people just say, yes, benefits. One, okay, do you have a 401k? Do you allow me to save for myself, or do you help me save a little bit for the future? But in addition, great concern, growing concern about health care. And do you offer coverage? And more than that, will I be able to afford it down the line? That's the big thing now. So it's getting more and more and more expensive. Can we afford it? Can I afford it? Can companies afford it? What do
See,
we
that's,
do?
That's the problem for small business owners when they first begin offering health care for employees is, okay, maybe I can afford it this year, but as you know, Jim, for most of this century, healthcare costs has been going up in double-digit increments every year.
Oh, they have.
And so, if we figure out a way to be able to afford it this year, maybe I can stretch it and afford it next year. But by the time you get double digits compounding on top of each other,
that's right,
for 3 years, now we're talking prohibitive, maybe, for some companies.
Well, that is it. And with that, of course, yes. And with that, of course, more and more people find it harder or impossible to much afford health care. And that, too, of course, is a sort of an overarching competitive issue in this country. You know.
Well, one of the things that we've got right now, one of the problems we've got, is I think we're in kind of an odd situation because we're transitioning from a century where the corporation was the paternal provider of benefits for retirement, almost, you know, for most of the century.
That's
job
right.
Security, guaranteed retirement, guaranteed benefits as long as you live, blah, 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 you know, on and on. And not only was that a reality, but that was also the expectation. And now we're in the 21st century when the economy is going to be more entrepreneurial, is more entrepreneurial. More people are working for small businesses than big businesses, and that number is going to increase, I'm convinced, Jim, in the future. But yet we don't have laws and regulations that make the availability of benefits for small business owners as attractive and as beneficial as it is for the paternalistic big corporations.
That is correct, and that's why it is absolutely one of the very top issues for small businesses. It's a competitive issue.
No question about it. And what I'm concerned about, Jim, and I believe that, and I said this earlier before you got here, I'm convinced that there will be two primary issues on the table in this next election cycle. Number one will be national security, and the other will be, what are we going to do about health care?
I absolutely agree. And, because all of the candidates of all shades of persuasion, left and right and center, understand that this is on people's minds, on individuals and business minds, and that something has to be done. And the question is what? Do you have the federal government come in and mandate this and run that? Do you do nothing? Or do you create a system mainly of incentives that will enlarge the ability of people to, make sure that people have access to health care at an somewhat affordable price, and not be without? Those are the issues.
What I'm concerned about is that we've got politicians, especially on the Democrat side, who like the idea, who are in love with the idea and are promoting the idea of the government of having a single payer system where the government's providing what is essentially universal health care, what's called universal health care, but basically it's socialism is what it is. It's not, I think we need to call it, mm-hmm. we need to quit calling it universal health care, because some people that I know are calling a positive result of everybody being insured universal health care. I think we should call it socialistic medicine. would it be if the government is providing it all for everybody? If it's as Michael Moore wants it, as Barack Obama wants it, as Hillary Clinton wants it, and I'm not sure about the others, mm-hmm. what is it if it's not socialistic medicine? I mean, like they have in Europe, like they have in Canada, and like those countries are trying to get away from. And so we're going to talk about this some more, folks. We've got more to come with our good friend Jim Ostroff. We're going to talk some more about how to work this out and other issues that Kiplinger has on the table for us this week. It's 20 After. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is the flagship. That's the one we've had for almost 10 years now, where you can find the show in a number of different variations, either from an MP3 streaming standpoint or from an archive standpoint. You can go and get any of the interviews there, and they're all clipped out individually, folks. And just a little bit of a short message from us on the beginning and at the end, and otherwise no commercials in the middle. So you can check it out. You can download them. You can podcast them. You can burn them onto a CD, put them onto a thumb drive, put them on your iTunes, into your iPod, all that stuff. So use them to your advantage. You've been asking for that for years, and we now have that available to you. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, which is brand new. The content is the same as we've been sending, but the delivery method, the look of it is all new. And so I hope you'll check that out. And subscribe. It's free, as you know. Our blog is right there. We update it every weekday. Check it out. And also, AskJim.biz, of course, is our knowledge base where you can get small business answers now. Hope you're using that to your advantage. If you got questions, we got answers. That's what we want to do. And all of these, both of these websites are have no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. You can just kind of hang out with us and use our stuff to your advantage. Thanks to our corporate partners. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about healthcare. Jim, the this country has to really this healthcare thing. And the thing that's going to drive the debate is going to be the election. And this country has got to really have – I think we need to have – we're going to have a gut check, Jim, over the next couple of years. We're going to have to say, okay, what do we – you know, what is it our nature to want? It's obviously our nature to want free stuff.
Right, right.
But what is the reality? The reality is, in my opinion, that we're creating an entrepreneurial economy that the rest of the world, Jim, envies. The rest, you know, we weren't able to beat the Japanese from a manufacturing standpoint in many ways, or even some of the Europeans. But from an entrepreneurial standpoint, we're the envy of the world. Other countries are wanting to know, how is it that America is so entrepreneurial? They want what we have.
That's right.
But entrepreneurial economy requires a different set of government rules and regulations. Laws and regulations than a paternalistic big corporation economy does. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to get out of the 20th century stuff into the 21st century. But I'm worried, Jim, that we're going to get stuck with and entrench some of these socialistic constructs that we had in the 20th century, and we're going to extend them and strengthen them in the 21st century. I'm really worried about that, Jim.
And, you know, we see that. I mean, it's not hypothetical. You can look right now, 5-10 years ago as well, in Europe, in many countries that are, you know, have heavily, basically what I would call a socialized type of medicine, but also paternalistic policies. And, again, it depends what you want. You see year after year those countries achieving a 1-2% economic growth.
They have not been competitive because of those things.
That's right. And it's a lot of stagnation. And ultimately, it's about individuals and what happened, and very high unemployment rates. But then people are paid not to work. Okay. And that's what you get. Do we want that? We can have it if we want it.
Let's ask those guys. I mean, in fact, Grace Marie Turner, who was on the show this week, said that in the last year or so, members of those countries, those European countries that have this kind of statist socialist type of constructs in their benefit systems, they came here and said, "Why do you want this, guys? We want to get rid of this."
That's right.
We're trying to get rid of it. Why would you want to go in this direction?
And the
leader of the Doctors Association, the medical association that represents doctors, a trade group in Canada, the leader of that group, Dr. Day, said this. He said, "We live in a country where a dog can get a hip replacement in 2 days, and for a person it takes 2 to 3 years." Now why would we hold out Canada as a model for the way the United States should go?
We like dogs. Yeah.
Maybe so.
But you
mentioned the automobile industry, and this is another thing that you guys pointed out in the letter this week, Jim.
Right.
Tell us what the automobile industry is doing with regard to this.
The U.S.
companies are having to make some serious changes, aren't they?
Absolutely. And the thing is, there are going to be some very big labor negotiations that culminate this September with the UAW. And in short, the union is going to make some very large concessions here, ultimately in reducing health care coverage.
Which means that they're going to basically refute and get at least somewhat disconnected from what is nothing less than universal health care within those corporations.
It is up until recently, basically, the companies paid everything.
Yeah.
No, whether it be health, your medical care, drugs, dental, everything.
Yeah.
They backed
universal.
Right, that's what it is. They backed off a little bit, and they said, okay, well, now you have to have a copay of $5, this and that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line on all this is that, that has left the U.S. automakers with a huge cost disadvantage.
That's right. If every automobile that GM sells, what is it, $1,200 or $1,600 per automobile goes just to health care.
And it's $1,500.
$1,500 per car just for health care for their employees, 80% of which aren't even working anymore. Stand by, quick break, right back with Jim Ostroff. I'm Jim Blasingame. A lot more to come. Stay with us.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, at your service. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Thank you for joining us. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence, and we're glad to have you here. Jim Osterhoff is our guest. We're glad to have him here, too, and we're talking about the national health care debate that's going on right now. And Jim, there are one of the things that one of my mentors told me a long time ago, and by the way, folks, I think I mentioned Jim is associate editor with the Kiplinger editors, and that's the we're working off of this week's Kiplinger editor. Jim, one of the things one of my mentors told me a long time ago, he said, whenever you're having a debate with yourself, whenever you're having a quandary, whenever you're trying to determine what your next step should be in anything, check your position. Now, what he meant was, look around you. See what else is going on around you. See what's happening. Observe other people. Observe the other influences that are part of this decision. See what's going on around you. Check your position. Well, I think that this nation needs to look around itself and check its position. We need to check with things like you were talking to us a few minutes ago about what the automobile industry is doing. There, the U.S. automobile industry, if they don't get this health care socialistic structure, if they don't get it under control, they're going to go out of business. They're all basically bankrupt anyway. They can't compete against the companies. You know, we talked about, you said $1,500 per car.
Right.
Of the money, when you buy a GM car, $1,500 of the money you give them goes to just to health care, whereas Toyota, I think, spends $100 per person.
It's something much less.
And, I think it's like
$100. Yeah, Toyota, Nissan, Honda, all of which have many plants in the U.S. and they employ U.S. workers. And the point on this, of course, is they offer health care, but it's more of the plan that most of us understand now. And
It's shared. And so the point is this not that the automobile industry can't be competitive in the United States, because we have an automobile industry in the United States that is competitive. The one that's not competitive is the one with the socialistic tendencies. Let's check our position. The countries that are being held out as these great examples of universal health care, the truth is that they're not efficient. And where are those guys going? You know, what are they going to wind up with? And do they have innovation? I mean, why are people coming to the United States to have their surgeries when they can have that, when they have the money to do that? Jim, we've got to build a market-based, consumer-driven, portable healthcare system.
Well, that would seem to be the way to go. And I got to say, you know, you don't know, but really there are, and certainly in Congress, people on both sides of the aisle who sort of understand that. We'll see what we get, but it is a few years down the road yet. But at least there is an understanding, I believe, by many, that, you know, ultimately it is best if the market can drive the system.
We've got to stop being just co-paying patients. We've got to become healthcare consumers. We've got to learn how to buy our healthcare we've got to get good at buying our healthcare the way we've gotten good at buying automobiles and microwaves and cabbage. We know what a cabbage is worth. We need to find out what healthcare is worth and be paying that. Jim, the amount of money we pay for healthcare, so much of that is paid to cover the inefficiencies.
It is too. And I'm saying, in that sense, we need to have, I believe, the market work its magic and weed out the inefficiencies.
I heard somebody recently. One of the really sad commentaries of our country is the way our veterans are treated in the veterans' hospitals and the nursing homes and all those things.
That's right.
And you know, Jim, I like to point out to people that this isn't what you've been hearing about at Walter Reed in the last year or so. This isn't new information.
It's very
old.
This
has been going on for decades.
It's a very old story.
It's an old story. My point is, I heard somebody, and I don't remember who was, but somebody this week, I think, said if you think you want universal health care where the government pays for everything, go visit a veterans hospital. Because that's what happens there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure.
So this is a big debate. This is the biggie that's going to be coming up. And, you know, Jim, you said it's not going to be done for a while. But the truth is, there are politicians out there right now who are making this a major part of their platform.
It will be.
And I think we got to plug in, folks. We got to, you know, look around you. Check your own position. What would you really like to have? What would you prefer? What would be better for you and your business and your families? 2010, we're going to be right back. We're going to move over and talk about the economy and other issues with our good friend, Jim Ostroff. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Jim Ostroff. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. He's associate editor there. Jim, I like your website, Kiplinger.com. I like telling people about it because it's a good one.
Right.
It's a good place to go. A lot of good information, a lot of free information on the homepage there. Also, folks, they have their publications like the Kiplinger Letter that Jim and I work off of and Joan and I work off of every week, and that's the weekly flagship letter that's been around since 1923.
Right.
And then, of course, they got three biweekly letters, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, and the Agriculture Letter. And then there's a magazine that you can find on the newsstands or subscribe to, right, Jim?
That's right. It's Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, the first and, we think, foremost personal finance publication.
Absolutely. And, of course, you can subscribe to all of those at Kiplinger.com. And also, don't forget to check out the 30-day free trial. They'll give you that. And there's a phone number if you'd rather call. There's a phone number Jim will give you. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, sure. Yeah. For subscription inquiries, toll-free, 800-544-0155.
Jim, let's move over on page two and talk about economic signals that are coming about. One thing that is really very exciting to me. I mean, you know, the economy, as you know, Jim, has got a lot of. It's almost a little schizophrenic. We got a lot of scary things going on, but there's a lot of really solid things going on. Not the least of which is the ability of this economy to create jobs.
Oh, absolutely. In June, there was 132,000 jobs created, and in May it was revised upwards to nearly $200,000.
Think about that.
200,000 jobs, and and that's
if you average those two. If you average those 2 months,
mm-hmm.
that's 160,000 jobs, and then if you annualize that number, and that's a little bit of a dangerous thing to do. But if you did, look what you're talking about. You're talking about 2 million jobs.
That's right. For an economy that's in some ways now just moving sideways, you know,
yeah,
we don't.
We're going to be lucky to get to 2% growth this year.
That's right. And that just shows you, you might say, ultimately, the vigor of the U.S. economy and the U.S. system.
You know, Jim, I'm going to propose that we need to think a little differently about the way we look at that growth percentage. You know, a lot of people think, oh, my goodness. 2% growth, that could be near a recession,
you know, or something like that.
But what we have to, exactly, I mean, think about this. Our economy is a $13 trillion economy. 2% growth,
mm-hmm.
2% growth in our economy is as big as some other economies.
Oh, it certainly is, and it's a good point, absolutely.
I mean, 13%, $13 trillion, you can't expect to grow at 3-4% a year with that kind of growth.
No, nor would you at that
kind of a base.
Ultimately,
I mean, I'd like to remind people, Jim, that the second largest economy on the planet is Japan, and it's less than half of our size.
That's right.
A lot of people think China's economy is so big. Folks, it's not big. It's just growing fast. It's
right.
One-fifth of the U.S. economy.
That's right.
India is 7% of the U.S. economy.
Oh, absolutely. And
so we have to put all those things in perspective. But still, this job growth thing is just, it boggles the mind.
With that, and of course, as we know, most new jobs are created by small businesses.
That's right. And Jim, you know what's good about that is, these are real jobs. These are jobs that need to be filled. These aren't jobs built on some kind of phony economics like we had in the 1990s.
Oh no, these are absolutely real. And as we know, in many cases, you know, it leads to many more new jobs because it's a sign of success and growth in that company, in that sector. There'll be many more.
Well, so. And Jim, the other thing is, as long as there are jobs and job creation like that, you're going to have consumers to being able to spend. That's the reason why I've never really been worried big time about the housing situation. You're creating these kind of jobs. You're creating the ability for people to buy houses.
You do. And it's ultimately, again, we're not talking about any bubble. It's just an easing of the situation.
Yeah.
It went very high, and now it's easing off. But once again, over here, in terms of real job growth or even housing sales, the United States is the envy of the world. That's it.
Jim, there's another thing that you guys cover this week that's very interesting, and it kind of ties in a little bit with what we talked about earlier with the healthcare thing, and that is the competition between Boeing and Airbus.
That's right.
Now, Boeing is a private U.S. company. I say it's private, meaning it's owned by the public because it's publicly traded, but it's not influenced by the government. And Airbus is heavily influenced by the British and the French government, isn't it?
That's right. It's part of a consortium, and it also includes Spain and whatever. But the thing is there that it is heavily influenced by various governments. And that's a reason why, you know, for instance here, the Airbus suffered a major setback here with their A380, you know, big new airliner that really sort of broken. And in short, you know why? Because it was like, you know, it was the Camel, which was a horse designed by committee. And it turned out it's like, oh, a lot of the wiring doesn't work. Something very basic like that.
And so now it's not even going to be available till like 2012.
Right.
Whereas the Boeing competitive Dreamliner, the 787 that competes with that one, I think straight up, is actually going to be out like next year.
Next May, less than a year.
They've taken record number of orders on that. So folks, the government doesn't work well. It's just not very efficient, folks. Government is not a good. It needs to stick to what it knows how to do, and that's pass laws, not running the economy, not getting involved in the economy. It's 10 till. We're going to be right back with our good friend Jim Ostroff right after these messages. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Jim Ostroff, Associate Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And we're talking about the most recent Kiplinger letter. And, Jim, the IRS has a little cautionary tale for us, don't they?
The thing is that, once again here, the IRS is going to step up the pace of random audits, you know, following about a year or two where they sort of stepped aside. And it's like, you know, we're saying like this year, you know, around 12, 13,000 taxpayers will receive letters beginning in October saying that the government would like to talk to them a little bit more about their tax returns.
Well, you know, Jim, another thing to point out to kind of weave into this story is the tax gap. The gap is the gap between what the IRS thinks that taxpayers in America should be paying and what they're actually collecting.
Right.
And Jim, the IRS has determined that a huge portion of the tax gap is a result of small businesses.
That is correct, and I got to say, a feeling is that there are many small businesses that, one way or other, don't report or hide a lot of income, and so they're going to go after them.
They're going to become a little more vigilant with those guys, and so that's something we need to pay attention to. Jim, let's move over and one of the things that you have on over in the letter is a little bit of tech transfer information?
Well,
you're talking about some defense technologies that are becoming commercial applications. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and I mean, once again, we see this. It's an old story, and it's one that happens every day, where things developed for the military are finding many good commercial uses. For instance, there's a thing called the Vulture, which harvests energy from vibrations in machines or something here. And as well as that. Or, for instance, you know, things such as a very sophisticated cost modeling system, you know, that will...
Now, wait a minute. Let's back up here a minute.
Okay.
This is actually... they call it an energy harvester.
Right. And
that's what it is. The Vulture is the kind of the brand name of it.
Right.
But it actually converts kinetic energy from vibrating sources such as machinery into electric power. So think about that. Now, I'd love to see how that works.
Yeah, anything that moves or jangles, you know, creates a kinetic energy.
I mean, think about it. What if all the machines in a small factory, a small business owner's factory, over a period of a day creating vibrations that it does, that could be converted through some kind of through this what they call the energy harvester. Maybe it could run the lights in the office or something.
Well, and ultimately, it saves money. It's there.
The same
thing, like, for instance, harvesting heat from boilers or other systems
to make electricity. You know, a lot of heating systems are designed so that the return air comes back across the lights.
That's right.
That light heats up the return air. So, you know, this is all part of the green effect. But now, what is this about cost modeling?
I said, for instance, a system, you know, ultimately software, that allow, for instance, an architect to very quickly ascertain exactly the costs for all the inputs, whether it be wood or brick or aluminum, in terms for building an office, a house, whatever. So the thing is, it allows you to get a very good handle on what it will cost, allows you to control costs, and save on waste. So more sophisticated than ever. For instance, there are things here, even something that they call noise dissipation, but allows companies or businesses to make things that are quieter inside. And whether it be a car, a house, or whatever.
In a lot of businesses, you turn the computers off, you turn the copier off, you turn the fax off, and it's amazing how much the noise level comes down. We don't realize how much noise these things put out.
Because it's there. Right, mm-hmm. right. And there were, you know, time after time, ultimately people look at the Pentagon as a waste, fraud, and abuse, whatever, but there are many, many spin-offs for the commercial sector.
And you know, Jim, there are a lot of incubators out there that are positioned, located near some of these places where these things are being created for the government, and they're actually converting them. They're transferring them over to these small companies that are converting them into commercial applications.
That's right.
A lot of good stuff like that going on. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here today. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim, and everyone.
Appreciate you very much. We'll see you next time. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Editors. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one of you. And remember, always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.